Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
And welcome again to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kelly, your host. Delighted to be back on the air. I hope I remember how to do this. Been off for a few days. Thank you to everybody who filled in, including Jerry Usher and Sherry. And what's the name of that other guy that filled in?
David. Sherry and somebody.
There was
that
another
other
guy.
Yeah.
It'll come to us during the course of the show. It will come to us at some point. I am not at home, however, on the road here. Delighted to be in Oklahoma. We're in Broken Arrow, right? We're not in Tulsa.
Correct.
All right. We're in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, with the men of the Catholic Men Show, David Niles and Adam Minahan. Hello, David and Adam.
Hello, Cy.
What's going on, man?
Thank you very much for the invite to come here to the fine state of Oklahoma. It always feels good to leave California for a little while, come back to America. that came out wrong. I apologize. That came out wrong. Let's take turns. We'll start with you, David. The Catholic Man Show.
Yeah.
How long has it been going on? Where can people find it?
About 3 years. Mm-hmm. We have this thing called a website.
You have a website?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the new rage. Everybody's doing it these days. It's called thecatholicmanshow.com.
Wow.
Yeah. And so if you have one of these internet protocol devices, you can actually visit that website.
And find out all about the Catholic Man Show.
Yes, you can find information there.
And you do the show with Adam. He's the one with the sense of humor, obviously.
Naturally.
It's not just the Catholic Man Show. You have a radio station here.
That's right, St. Michael Catholic Radio. We started that in 2013, so about 5 years ago, six years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
And our topic first hour is going to be authentic friendship. You two have been friends since what major event in your lives?
Kindergarten.
Kindergarten. Okay, mm-hmm. Kindergarten. That is a major event.
Yeah.
And
specifically recess, because that's the biggest event during kindergarten.
Yes, right.
It's like recess,
right.
Lunch, and then everything else.
I actually only remember one day of kindergarten. It was the day we made chocolate pudding. That stuck with me.
Like that is a big day.
If you make chocolate pudding, So you're still friends.
Yes.
You run this radio station together. You do the Catholic Man Show together. You're both fathers now of about 6-7 kids?
Let's see. I have 3 and 1 on the way, and you have 3.
We have 3.
My math says that's 7.
Yes.
What is it that this thing? What is friendship? We're going to talk a little bit about authentic friendship. You guys have been living it. What is it?
Yeah, so friendship is something that I think is very common to the everyday experience that most people would say, "Oh, well, friendship is friendship," but it's almost so common, it's difficult to define.
Yes, right.
So if I was going to define it, I would say that it's goodwill shared between two people. Whose lives overlap. Okay, so you're living lives, your lives together, you're just doing the day-to-day things with each other, and you don't hate each other. I mean, it's a very basic definition.
C.S. Lewis had a great saying that said, you're a true friend whenever you realize somebody else, you see somebody else, you go, no way, you too?
Yeah, it's right, right. Yeah, so. Well, as so many things with Lewis, he gets it right in one little phrase. If you'd like to talk with us about authentic friendship, 888-318-7884 is the number. That's 888-31-TRUTH. And it does seem to me, and I'll ask you guys about this, it seems that we're in a bit of a crisis of friendship. We certainly have millions and millions of people, and it gets worse every year, apparently, over the course of, say, the last 10 or 15 years, expressing to pollsters and researchers that they're more lonely. And so one would guess that more loneliness means less friendship. Also, I'll throw out there, it seems to me that it may be this way for both men and women, I don't know, but speaking as a man and seeing young men today, there's a kind of way in which two men get close to one another, and then there's a kind of fear that that's going to get tongues wagging or something, because friendship has been so sexualized in much of the culture. Would the two of you agree with me that friendship, that this is a kind of a time of crisis for friendship? And then how would you describe that crisis if you do?
Yeah, I definitely think that there's a time of crisis in friendship, mainly because society has made us like so inward. We're thinking about ourselves. Technology has brought us so deep within ourselves where we're not even having good conversations with people any longer. Even people in the business workplace, there's no longer a good conversation. Like, hey, let's go have lunch and just have a real human interaction between one another. I think so. There's not these natural things any longer where, hey, let's go riding the bus together and have a natural conversation, because you go on the bus and everybody's on their phone.
That's a very good point. You know, yeah, so a lack of conversation would certainly lead to a lack of friendship. If you won't talk to one another, it's pretty hard to be friends.
Yeah, and our culture, the values of our culture have just gotten so skewed. One of the things they value higher than anything is sex. Your right to have it with you, with whoever you want, when you want to do it, in the way that you want to do it, whatever makes you happiest, so to speak. And so, because that's one of our highest values, I think that our culture would say, if there's a relationship here, it must be about sex, because that's what's most important to the culture. And so it's just it's because they've lost the true, the good, and the beautiful. You know, they've lost touch with those real things in life. Not that sex isn't real. I mean, of course it is. But they've lost the context.
If that's what we're about, we become kind of animalized rather than humanized.
Right.
We're just trying to feed our animal appetites instead of we have an appetite for conversation, for example, and that's missing now, or it's buried under all this other stuff, or people don't get to fully have it realized in their life. It strikes me that the Christian understanding of God as a triune God, as an eternal communion, as an eternal sharing of selves, and then the scriptural revelation that we are made in the image and likeness of God suggests that we're made for communion as well. We're made for the full, perfect sharing of selves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that men in particular have been, you know, the devil is so good at dividing and conquering. And so he's so good at that. So for men, I think that a lot of times guys don't realize that I'm the only one doing this. I'm the only one struggling with this. Yeah. They feel like that there's no way out. I'm the only one that's really struggling with this. In fact, and who they surround themselves with is going to be how they interpret that reality. In fact, St. Augustine, in his Confessions, he talks about this. When he was younger, he had a group of friends, and he talks about how he stole peach or pear from a tree from a guy when he was young. And the pear wasn't even good. It didn't even taste good. He stole it because his friends were like, hey, let's go steal this.
Uh-huh.
And so he wasn't hungry. It wasn't that he wanted it. He needed it. Right. But because he was surrounded with those people, he went and stole that. Now, fast forward a few years, and he surrounded himself with St. Ambrose.
Yeah.
And St. Ambrose is telling him that, no, you need to focus on prayer. You need to focus on the reality of God. And now he's a doctor of the church. So I think it really depends. Friendship is so important for our sanctity, for our salvation.
Right.
To have people around us with the common foundation, namely Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so it's so important for especially men to have people around them.
And the thing is that as we become wealthier and there's air conditioning everywhere. It's possible to really live an isolated life and have a simulation of friendship. You know, the people on TV are your friends, you know, and you can, right. You don't even have to go through the drive-thru. Like, people will go, nah, it's too much trouble to go through the drive-thru. I'll just call Grubhub. Like, that, if you're so isolated that it's too much trouble to drive through the drive-thru, that's a culture with a problem.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Let me give out the number again. 888-318-7884 is the number. I am Cy Kellett, your host, joined by David Niles and Adam Minahan of the Catholic Man Show. You both recently gave a talk at the... up at Mundelein, right? At the Courage Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
Courage is probably the largest international Catholic group for people who experience same-sex attraction. And so you talked on friendship.
Yeah, Father Bochansky was kind enough to invite us out there to talk to them. We had so much fun up there in Mundelein. One, it's beautiful. Have you been to the Mundelein before, Cy?
Why are you trying to make me look bad? No, I've never been there. I don't remember. No.
Well, it was our first time to go.
Yeah, it was our first time.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No, but it was absolutely beautiful. We had a chance to hang out with Father Bochansky, who is the executive director of Courage. He's been on Catholic Answers.
Many times, yeah.
And we had a chance to interact with so many great people there. It was so much fun. Yeah, but
That really was really a good experience, just being surrounded by all these people dedicated to living their faith. It was just, there was an energy just being there.
Mm-hmm.
I had a great time. And so, yeah, we were speaking on this topic of authentic friendship. And really the kind of the guy who wrote the book on friendship, as it were, is Aristotle. He outlined three different types of friendship. They are friendships of utility, friendships of pleasure, and then what he calls authentic friendship. So a friendship of utility is a friendship where both parties gain something from the relationship. So it could be a coworker or just, you know, oh, I'm friends with him and maybe he gets me this benefit, whatever it is. We have a lot of these types of relationships. And then friendship of pleasure would be someone you just simply enjoy being with.
Yeah.
Maybe a drinking buddy.
Somebody you go to the coffee shop with.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But this authentic level of friendship, he said, this is really what we should be striving for, but it's very difficult to find and it's difficult to achieve. And Aristotle said that not everyone is even capable of doing it, mm-hmm. because in order to have an authentic friendship, you have to, both parties must be dedicated to the pursuit of virtue. And that must be really the heart of the friendship itself, that we're both pursuing the good life, as Aristotle puts it, and that I'm helping you get there, you're helping me get there, and that our lives are really intertwined in a much deeper, deeper way than somebody that, you know, you go to baseball games with or something like that.
All right, so you get to the point of willing the good of the other,
mm-hmm.
and but all, not just willing any good for the other, but willing the highest good
right.
for the other. And then you're assisting that person towards the highest good.
Right, yeah. So for us, especially as Christians, that kind of changes the game a little bit, because now that we have this benefit of divine revelation, we know what the highest good is. And so that, you know, that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So for us as Christians, Christ has to be that center.
Right.
Otherwise, I'm not sure that you can really call it an authentic relationship. You know, sort of like once you know something, you can't unknow it.
Yeah.
And so Christ raises the bar for us and our relationships with one another. And so the same thing is true, especially in the friendships that we have. So, you know, if you're going to have a deep, authentic relationship with someone, a deep friendship, Christ needs to be at the middle of it for us as Christians.
It's amazing, too, how many of the saints had those kind of friendships.
Yeah.
You know, you see the all throughout the history of sainthood, there are these kind of, I mean, in a certain way, I don't know how much of a friendship it was, but even before Pope Francis, the two previous popes, they're like partners in doing this work together and helping one another do it. And this may be an ingredient that we think we search, you know, you can get all the self-help books you want, you can get all the great books from, you know, whatever Catholic book publisher you want, but it can't entirely be a journey made on one's own.
No.
It's
We're not made for that.
No.
We're made for communion.
Amen, brother. 888-318-7884 is the number. Maybe you're experiencing some loneliness in your life, or maybe someone that is important to you in your family, a child, a parent is, and you'd like to talk about authentic friendship in that regard. 888-318-7884. Or maybe you're struggling in friendship yourself, and you'd like some pointers on how to deepen friendship with others or pursue more satisfying, fuller, more humane friendships. 888-318-7884. Our guests are the hosts and creators of The Catholic Man Show, Adam Minahan and David... I should explain why we're making that joke about not remembering people's names, because our president, Chris Check, was hosting Catholic Answers while I was away, and he said, oh, Si's going to go be in Tulsa with Adam Minahan and that other guy. What's that other guy's name?
He's a great guy.
He's a great guy. I don't remember his name. So that's why we're making that joke. David Niles, the other guest. 888-318-7884, the number. We're very happy to take your calls. Hey, almost all Catholics have heard this. News. Pew Research did a poll just recently. One third of U.S. Catholics either understand or agree with what the Church says the Eucharist is, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. One third of Catholics. We want to do our part to remedy that, so we've got a free ebook for you. It's called Face to Face with Jesus, the Catholic Doctrine of the Eucharist. Download your copy free today by checking the free ebook banner at shop.catholic.com. Get your free ebook at shop.catholic.com and come closer to the one thing that matters, the Eucharist.
Call us now with your question.
Hello?
On Catholic Answers Live.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
When you are predictable in your authority, you will actually have to use that authority less. Consistent discipline leads to less constant discipline. The more you act when you need to act, the less you will have to act in the future with similar misbehavior.
The Doctor is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. This afternoon, 1 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Live from beautiful Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, delighted to be here with Adam Minahan and David Niles, the hosts of The Catholic Man Show, and the guys who run St. Michael Radio right here in Broken Arrow, and been doing so since 2013, huh? You guys have done a lot, because all of your children have been born since then, correct? So you guys
That's
are
correct. Yeah. Yes.
Wow, it's been a good 6 years for you.
It's been, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Can't complain at all.
That's true. It has been.
well, that's good, because it's such a blessing. Everywhere where there's Catholic radio, it's such a blessing. And I hope we have lots and lots of folks here with us. I hope you all are supporting the efforts of St. Michael's Radio. But it's important everywhere. I mean, bit by bit, we Catholics, we're working our way in there. You know, I used to give talks on Catholic radio, and at the time there were 1,500 Protestant radio stations in the United States, and there were about 100 Catholic radio stations.
Wow.
This is maybe 8 or so years ago. Today we're well over 400 Catholic radio stations in the U.S. So
yes.
we're little by little.
Praise God.
The message is getting out because of people like you. And thank you very much for doing it. We're talking about authentic friendship this hour with two very good friends. They've been friends since kindergarten. They now are partners in the effort of the Man Show and on St. Michael's Radio. And do you live near each other? Or?
Yeah, that's the funny thing about it is that after we got out of college, we moved in together, and then I got married, he got married, he moved away, and then a house came.
Wait a second,
sale.
You said I got married, he moved away. Like, so that means when you got married, he was still living with you?
When he started to pay rent.
I had
to pay rent still.
And then his beautiful wife Haley got pregnant, and that's when I said, "All right, I'm getting out of here."
Yeah, so he moved out, and then
oh, you did not want to deal with a pregnant woman in the house. Is that what you're saying?
I just knew that.
Come on, now.
It was time.
Yeah, I think if it
perhaps, it was time.
Perhaps past time, yeah. David, some might say.
One may say.
Okay, so how close are you now to one another?
We're across the street from each other.
Okay, yeah. And your kids are all the same ages.
Yeah, same ages, so now they're becoming friends, which is awesome. I've learned, being a dad, that it's so important to be able to provide good friends for your kids, so I'm really thankful for that opportunity.
That's wonderful. And, okay, so now all that time, were you both kind of always Catholic together? Did you help each other out in that regard? Have you strengthened each other's faith on that journey?
So when we went to college, our stories are very similar. We both kind of walked away from the faith. Mm-hmm. It's not that, and I'll speak for myself, it's not that I rejected the faith. I became apathetic. Said, oh, I'll come back to that later. And praise God, I did. Mm-hmm. So it's not a strategy I recommend. But us moving in together after college was definitely a catalyst for that, and certainly a reinforcement of that decision to begin practicing the faith. I remember one day one of us came up to the other one and said, hey, I've got a crazy idea. What if we went to church this Sunday? And I remember it, they're like, whoa, that is a crazy idea. Okay. All right.
You know? Wild men.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yep.
Go ahead.
If I may, I have a best friend, very similar. I mean, we live very far apart from each other. We live on opposite ends of the country now, but very close. And I think I cannot imagine my faith in Jesus being what it is without him. I just can't imagine it. So one day, I don't know, we were talking and another friend was there and somebody was saying about going on a date with somebody. And she said to us, this friend of ours who had known us for quite a while, I assumed the two of you were gay, to which we said, why would you assume that? Like, that seems like a very odd thing to assume, but it was maybe, you know, people are not used to men who are close to one another, who love one another, who go to mass together, that kind of thing. Is it just me? Like, is it the way I act that's better to say that? I want to know, do people kind of wonder about your closeness to one another?
Only in the comment section on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah. Or at least they don't say it to my face, but
but the internet is a weird world, man.
Yeah, that's why I try to stay out of it as much as I can, but the it strikes me that people think that that's a mature and grown-up way, like, "Oh, I'm in on something clever or something," but you're not. You're missing out on something beautiful.
Right.
If you decide you're going to sexualize everyone's friendship. If you're going to be I don't know about those two. Like, okay.
And not only beautiful, but essential.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's going to be harder for you to get to heaven if you don't have companions, and you know, I'll just speak from the male perspective. If you don't have a brother fighting by your side, then you're going to lose the battle. Well, I'm not going to say you're going to lose the battle. Everyone has Christ by their side. But the more people you have on your team, the better chances you have. So, yeah, I mean, without someone who can hold you accountable, then you're going to give yourself a pass on certain things.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, we've been talking about virtue, right? And virtue is the habit of doing the good. And sometimes it's hard to do the good. It's not sometimes natural to do good. It's not easy to do that. But having that guy beside you said, hey, we're going to Mass today.
Right.
Let's go. We're going. That kind of reinforces your decision. Yep, we got to go.
Yeah, because I feel like, and within my friendship that I was mentioning, I feel like I'm the guy who I love to pray when I feel like praying. And he's the guy that says, it doesn't matter if you feel like it, right?
Yeah,
it's time to pray. Like, you just, and that changed me. And maybe I had some positive effects on him as well, but I do think that's part of why you need that other person there to help you. 888-318-7884. A bunch of people want to talk to you on the phone. I've been monopolizing you, so we'll go to the phones. Carl in Dallas, Texas, listening on AM 910 Guadalupe Radio. Carl, your question for Adam and David.
This is a little variation on the theme, but I'm a recent empty nester, and my wife and I raised four children, and we both have busy careers, and now I'm at the point of going, oh, who is this beautiful woman I'm living with? Oh, look at that, you know? I don't really know this person as much as I would like to. And so I'm kind of in that position of kind of reestablishing a relationship or a deeper friendship. With my wife after my children are gone, and I wondered if, from your perspective, you could give me a word of encouragement or advice.
Well, first of all, God bless you for for pursuing friendship with your wife. I think friendship and marriage, although friendship is not necessary for marriage to be good, because so many goods are produced by marriage, like children, like stability in society. It's not essential that husbands and wives be friends in order for the marriage to be called a good thing. But friendship in marriage is one of the greatest possible goods you can achieve in this life.
Yeah, Carl, I think that's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. I would kind of ask, and you don't have to respond to this right now, but I would think back onto, what did you do when you were dating your wife, when you were courting her? You said, you know, obviously she's a beautiful woman and she's a beautiful wife. So what made you attracted to her? What did you guys go do first? I would go back to what you did when you first started dating. What were your common interests? I'd make sure to, we talked about it earlier, to make sure that you have these common grounds. So make sure you're praying together. I think prayer is with husband and wife is absolutely important. But I would also think about, what were the things that you did before you guys got married, before you had kids, and go do those?
Yeah, Carl, this is a really good question. And this is one of the things that Aristotle actually got wrong about friendship. He said that a husband and a wife could not be friends because...
Mrs. Aristotle must have been thrilled to hear that.
Well, yeah.
Thanks.
Back in Aristotle's day, men and women were not on equal footing socially. Right. And so Aristotle said that a boss could never be friends with a laborer, and that people of different classes would never be able to have a friendship, a real friendship. We know that that is wrong because we know that our dignity comes from the same place. Okay, so we are all equal with each other. I would say for you to simply do the things that are day-to-day. Friendship comes from having these overlapping lives. Do the dishes together. Just spend time with each other. And that is really the basis for friendship.
Try listening to her, too. I found that does the trick a lot. 888-318-7884. The number. We'll be right back with more Authentic Friendship with Adam and David on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Turns out that today, as back then, this question has a lot of different answers. So many groups want to appropriate Jesus, tweaking his identity until he looks and sounds just like one of them. But then you no longer have the Lord, says apologist Trent Horn. You have an imposter. In his new groundbreaking book, Counterfeit Christ, Trent exposes 18 phony versions of Jesus that we encounter today, helping you to recognize the fakes when you see them, explain why they're phony, and make a case for the full truth and beauty of who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Order your copy of Counterfeit Christ today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Tim Staples, Trent Horn, Cy Kellett, Chris Check, Carlo Broussard. Our on-fire lineup of speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker for your event, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew that she wanted those things, that in them somehow she would find God. Over the years as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a lived testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. Do you have questions about the Catholic faith? Listen for the best of Called to Communion on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern and live on Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Called to Communion on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, coming to you from Oklahoma today, where it's very, it doesn't, I have to say I had a prejudice in me. I thought August in Oklahoma might be really hot. And it's not terribly, terribly hot.
You got lucky. We had a storm last night that cooled everything off.
You weren't here yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, really? It's one of those deals?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, see, now my whole impression of Oklahoma in August is going to be like, it's fine. Go ahead.
And you know what? It is really hard to cool a teepee in 105 degree weather. Yeah.
Which of you lives in a teepee?
Well, everybody does around here.
I was not aware of that. You all live in teepees?
Yeah. This is just a big teepee right here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The horse gets tired, too, from the heat.
In the heat?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have one horse. Okay, so this is my impression now that I have of Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Everybody lives in teepees and there's one horse. Does that? Yeah. Would you say that's an accurate
A one-horse town?
That's weird. People are nodding. Like, yes, that is us. Okay. All right. Very good. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you prefer the spelled version, 888-31-TRUTH. You're listening to Catholic Answers Live. Our guests are Adam Minahan and David Niles. Together, they are the hosts of the Catholic Man Show, which you can find at catholicmanshow.com or on select Catholic radio stations around Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. We're talking authentic friendship this hour, and you get the strong impression when you're around Adam and David that they are living an authentic friendship with one another. It's a beautiful thing, and one that the world needs more of. We have an absolute epidemic of loneliness sweeping the nation. And for many people, I'll throw this out to you. There are many people I meet, actually. You know, you go out and do talks in various places who are lonely through absolutely no fault of their own. You can see interacting with the person that this is a fine person that make a great friend, but it's that there's no one there. People are not going to the events at the parishes, or they're not going to clubs and things like they used to, you know, like the Elks Club or the Moose Lodge or whatever the club was that people used to go to, the Fraternal Order or the Buffalo or whatever. And
is that a real thing?
I believe that was Fred Flintstone's club. I can't remember, but I often feel really badly for people who will say, "I'm doing everything I can. What's wrong with me?" There's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah,
people are not socializing in the way they used to socialize. It's hard to make friends and to find friends.
No, I agree, and that's something that we have heard a lot. We've given talks also on how to start men's groups.
Mm-hmm.
Women seem to be able to make friends a little bit better than men. They're just more of they're receivers, you know, and men have to
they're nicer. Come on.
They're way holier.
Are way nicer than men.
They're way holier.
Oh,
than
yeah.
Men too.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah, but they're good at, you know, being receptive to one another. That's what I'm trying to say. Men have to almost put it on the calendar, you know, to be intentional about doing something today.
They have to not only put it on their calendar, they have to put it on their wife's calendar so she'll remind them to go to the event.
Reminder text message.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, today I will be a friend. Okay.
Right.
The next 30 minutes I will be friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have a friend, he's a deacon, Deacon John, and he always says, if we don't know one another, we can't love one another.
Mm.
But there's something in men that really we are capable of just putting on the football games on Saturday and Sunday and just we're on our own. We're in a different world, you know?
Yeah.
But you got to come out. I mean, if not for yourself, for the other people who need to have human contact with one another.
Right.
All right. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. Kim's up next. Kim's in Providence, Rhode Island, listening to channel 130. That's EWTN on Sirius XM satellite radio. Kim, your question for David and Adam.
Hi there. I live in a very small state. I live in Rhode Island.
That's actually the smallest state. It's there are no smaller states than that. Yeah.
I listened to your convo earlier about how, you know, society has become a little bit sexualized, and I really don't fit in that category. I'm an introvert, and I just, what are some tips on making authentic friendships that, you know, are based on our highest self and something that's, you know, long-lasting. I'm single, I'm an animal lover, but I'm kind of I'm more of like a brainiac kind of woman. I have a law degree. I'm quiet. but I am searching for, you know, my life partner, and I'd just like to have some tips, you know, from a man's point of view, for an authentic friendship.
Yeah, Kim, I would say look for someone who's doing the things that you like to do. So if you have a hobby, or if there's something, just, you know, what do you like to do for leisure? If you can find a friend, you know, who's doing these things as well, that is a really good candidate for someone who could be, you know, a deeper level of friendship, because an important element of friendship is that you have and do things in common. And so if you, you know, sometimes you just meet somebody and right away, you know, we're going to be friends. You know, somehow you can, there's just something about it within a few minutes, you can just tell we're going to be friends. And then there's other people that you like and have goodwill. And, you know, it's like, oh, I'm a good Catholic. You're a good Catholic. I just don't really have anything to say to you. And I don't know why. You know, I want to be friendly, but conversation is a struggle, you know, between two people. So if you can find somebody, like if you could find somebody who likes law, who's Catholic, I mean, that would be perfect. Or just whatever else, whatever your hobbies are. I don't know, Adam, do you?
Yeah, I would just say make sure you go to your parish events. You know, whatever, there's a lot of like women's groups, men's groups. There's a lot of parish events that are happening in your local area. That's the way to be able to find not only people that are have the same common ground, but the same religion, you know, the same faith background as you do, which ultimately, if you're looking for that authentic friendship, Jesus must be the foundation in this friendship. So you already got that box checked off, right, Si?
Amen. Yeah, and I think sometimes people, we act as if friendship is supposed to be just come naturally to everybody, and it is. There are actually skills to being a good friend and that kind of thing, and conscientiously work on those skills. You can work on those things that make it possible to be a good friend and for someone else to find that in you. The hard thing is that so many people have made Netflix their best friend, or whatever it is, you know. To be just brutally frank, for men, it's heartbreaking, but many, pornography is their primary human contact, I guess, if you want to put it that way. And, you know, people are losing years and decades of their lives in these solitary pursuits, and it actually means that someone, you know, like you, Kim, has to be very intentional about it. Very intentional about, this is going to be, you know, something I'm going to work on. Like you would work on something if you were going to be writing a book, or if you were going to be, making a new product or something, because it's not something that's coming natural to other people as well, you know. And you know, if you're looking for a husband, I mean, I don't know what else to say to men except get away from that computer screen, because there are really good women who need a husband, and you need to be that man. You need to start being that man now. And I'm going to tell you one other secret.
Okay.
And I don't know if Adam and David.
I got my
David,
pen out.
Yeah, this
notes.
Is about men.
Can I write it down?
Okay.
Most men need a woman to grow them up. Like, we don't really grow up until a woman says, knock it off. Whatever it is that we're doing, knock it off.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Why was there so much reaction to that?
Yeah. Right. The men are saying nothing.
Yeah.
But, there, you know, whether our thing is, you know, I don't know, drinking or pornography or just we're not very nice or whatever, until a woman says, knock it off, you need to join the human race.
Yeah.
We can just kind of grunt and go through life. So,
yeah. And Kim, I would just say that sometimes you have to be, even though you're an introvert, you might not like to do this, you might have to be the one to start something. So invite somebody over for lunch that you think, you know, it's like, oh, I know them and I kind of like them. Because very often you can know someone for a long time and then maybe you'll go somewhere together or do something and you realize, oh, I didn't know you liked all these things, and I didn't know we had so much in common. And all of a sudden, you can develop this friendship when you've known them, you know, for so long. So there could be people at your parish or, you know, wherever. So just invite them over for lunch. I mean, and if it doesn't work out, that's just the way it goes.
How's that, Kim? Were we any help
just
at all?
Think outside the box.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Kim, part of it also is to be vulnerable. I think it's really tough to be vulnerable these days. We don't have the opportunity to be vulnerable, and we're always worried about, well, if I share this part of my life with this person, they may not like it. They may reject it. You know, they may think differently about me. And we have to get over, you know, being Catholic, you have to kind of be comfortable with being uncomfortable. You have to step out of the box. You have to be able to be a little bit vulnerable to be able to share your life with somebody else.
Kim, we got to leave it there because we have to go to a break. Thank you very, very much for that call, and God bless you in your search. I'm sure that he will. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. We're talking authentic friendship with two fine friends, David Niles and Adam Minahan, the men behind the Catholic Men Show, the motto of which is cheers to Jesus.
Yes. Cheers. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass.
Okay. I like cheers to Jesus. I feel like I can remember that
We
one.
Say both.
You say
both.
Yeah. Okay. They're interchangeable.
All right. Hey, we have that free ebook. I don't want you to miss out on it. If you'd like Face to Face with Jesus, the Catholic Doctrine of the Eucharist, maybe for yourself, maybe for someone else, maybe you'd just like to read it so you're prepared to have that conversation with someone in your family, including your children. We have that research out, really heartbreaking research that only one-third of Catholics either accept or know the Catholic teaching on the presence of Christ in the Eucharist. That's why we made this free ebook available to you. Just go to shop.catholic.com, click on the free ebook banner and get your free copy of Face to Face with Jesus, the Catholic Doctrine of the Eucharist.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
He is only one of four popes honored as the great.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Leo I was pope at a time when Roman civilization was being overrun by barbarian armies. He stood as a light in the darkness and even saved the city of Rome from destruction by Attila and the Huns. Leo died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Starting to feel back in the swing of it now. Took a week off. I'm starting to feel right now after like 45 minutes of radio. I'm starting to feel like I can remember how to do it. You are listening to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and our guests, Adam Minahan and David Niles. Don't worry, though. We got better guests the second hour. Just make it through this one, and we got really good guests next hour. We're going to talk about fatherhood with two tremendous fathers. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. If you have questions about authentic friendship, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. One thing we have not touched on, and before I go to our next caller, I want to ask you about this. I actually sometimes feel somewhat anxious in conversations with people these days because everything in the world seems so polarized, like that you're afraid to say, you know, just to be yourself because, you know, maybe, you know, you're a Democrat, this person's a Republican, you're a Republican, this person's a Democrat, you're a, I don't know, you're a socialist and the other person is like normal or, you know, whatever. I didn't mean that in a bad way. Well, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying? Like the culture is so polarized that you almost, you're on pins and needles around other people sometimes as you're getting to know them.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's absolutely true. And it's that way with everything. You know, politics, of course, but there are just certain issues that you can't be on the fence about, you know, and especially for us as conservatives, it seems like at work or out in public, don't tell people how you feel or what you think about this, you know.
Dude, because, you should come to California.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
I don't know why that's happening.
I think it's probably...
But I hate it.
A lot of the social media has probably fueled that fire.
Yeah.
Everybody has to pick a side.
Pick a side on everything.
And you have to. And it's like...
Right.
Did you hear what this person did today? Do you like it or do you not like it? You know,
right.
It's like, it wears you out.
And I think that people aren't actually discussing these ideas. They're not actually having conversations about them. Mm-hmm. They're just...
They're using them as like, that's an indicator. I can hang out with you. I can't hang out with you. You're
right.
On my team. You're not on my team.
They're just picking sides, right? They're not actually discussing ideas. Because I've found that when you challenge someone on, or, you know, think about Trent Horn on the Why Are You Pro-Choice episodes.
Yeah.
He'll ask them a few questions, and then it becomes pretty obvious that this person has never actually pondered their own position on abortion.
Right.
You know, they've never actually thought about it.
No.
And so I think that's really the case for so much of this division between us.
But it seems like there are people who can just have a friendship. You know, okay, so you disagree with me on even a grave moral issue.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still a level of friendship we could have. You could come over to my house. We could hang out. You know, we could watch the game together or whatever. But it seems like there's even less tolerance of that. Like, you can't even watch a baseball game with me because, you know, I don't know, you're pro-death penalty and I'm anti-death penalty or what, or you like Pope Francis and I don't like Pope Francis, whatever.
Right.
Like, we can't even – it just seems off the rails to me.
Yeah.
And I think that, Jesus prayed that we'd all be one. You know, so it's definitely so frustrating. I think the devil is just sitting there smiling. When, like I said, he's a divider and conqueror. So, like, he divides everybody up. He's sitting there smiling. So I think that's important that we have prayer. I think prayer is so important to make sure that we come back together.
Yeah, yeah. And Jesus was not very selective in his friends. If you wanted to be his friend, he'd be welcome to be your friend.
Yeah. He was selected for the first 12.
Yeah, right. And he didn't even get all of those right.
Right.
But I was like, okay, you're a tax collector in a tree. I'll hang out with you.
Right.
You know, you're a wine drinker or a prostitute or you're. But we somehow people have to be good enough for us. They don't have to be good enough for God, but they got to be good enough for us. 888-318-7884 is the number. I think I know who is on the line. Drew in Cooperstown, New York, listening on 1460 AM. Are you there with us, Drew?
I am here, and I hear you dividing the audience, but I want to say that I'm pro Cy Kellett.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Hey, there you go.
I have to tell you something. I know who this is. This, remember I told you about my best friend before?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, this is him. He's like,
hey, Drew.
Why are you calling me at work?
I'm calling because I was wondering about the sort of the role of Jesus in the arc of a friendship, especially as sort of men age and don't spend as much time together. What's sort of the role of Jesus in trying to be disciples of Jesus in your friendship over the lifetime of a friendship?
All right. Men.
Yeah, Drew. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, so, Drew, I'm going to take one step back and say that the purpose of friendship, you know, God made us for communion. He made us for this need to be with each other. And the first question to ask is, why did he make us that way? He could have made us any way he wanted to. He could have made us so that we'd be fine all by ourselves. Just, why aren't we all hermits just dedicating our lives to prayer? And I think the reason for that is because we're made for communion because we're made in his image. And he himself is a communion. And so friendship in this life is practice so that we can be friends with God. Friendship is a sign that points to our eternal destiny where we will spend all of infinity being in
all
this,
of infinity, not even part of it.
Right, all of it.
And beyond.
Yeah. And beyond.
Yeah, infinity and beyond.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You should coin that. That's a good line.
Thank you.
But friendship is ultimately about God. It's about Christ. And so once you know the end of a thing, once you know what something is for, now you know how to do it well. Now you know if something is good or bad. So when we look at friendship, friendship is to lead us to Christ. It's to lead us to God. And so if Christ isn't part of it, then it's a bad friendship. I mean, if you have a relationship with someone, they are either reinforcing you in virtue or vice. There's a saying that you are essentially the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Okay? So there's this effect that when you're friends with someone, their phrases, the things that they say, end up becoming your phrases, and you start to say the same jokes as them. I mean, all of Adam's jokes are mine. okay? He stole them from me. But their habits become your habits. You have a way of becoming more like each other. And the same is true in marriage. So if you're spending time with someone who is not a good example or helping lead you and grow you in virtue, because I've had friends in college, you know, there were friends that I had to kind of leave behind because they just weren't a good example for me. And once I realized that, that was a really difficult thing for me to do. But that is why Christ must be the center of your relationship, because that's what friendship is for.
Right.
You want to take the second half of his question? Because I pretty much nailed the first half.
Well, the answer is always Jesus, right? So, like, right, yeah. anytime somebody calls, the answer is Jesus, and we can go to the next caller. But like you said, yeah, human friendship is the natural preparation for entering friendship with God. And naturally, so if that's the case, friends don't let other friends sin. If David said, you know, like David said, if we know the end, and we know that we're supposed to be in communion with God, and our friendship is preparation for us to be in the unity in the whole body of Christ, the communion of saints and our beautiful mother and the beatific vision, if we're all supposed to be doing that, then friends don't let friends sin. Yeah. And so again, that's why it's so important to have people around you that are pushing you towards the virtuous life.
And Tim, as far as maintaining long-distance relationships, long-distance friendships, communication is the oxygen of friendship. So if you're not communicating, you could have the best friendship, but if time and distance separates you and you don't communicate, then slowly that relationship, that friendship will fade. I would say call them at work.
Yeah. Call him at work.
Try that.
That's a bad idea. I don't know where these two came from. Drew, is that all acceptable to you?
Marginally, yes.
Good.
Well, you know, the virtue is like in the middle. It's the mean. So maybe by marginally, he means like we're in the middle.
I don't.
We're the virtuous.
No, I'm just being.
He's being a smart aleck.
I'm just joking. No, that was right. What do you guys think though about the role of the sort of the kingdom of God, right? Because the friendship is sort of a proleptic moment of the kingdom of God as well, right? So in addition to kind of being a moment of sort of growing in virtue, it's also this experience of God's love for us and one another, right?
Oh,
amen.
Totally. Yeah,
absolutely.
Well said, Drew. I have to tell you, Drew said this about me once, and my other friends think that it is a perfect description of me. He said, "You are a great friend in theory." And so when you say that you need to keep up the communication, you're talking to the wrong end of that relationship. Thank you, Drew. I got to go. I got more calls. I got to go. Let's go to Tim in Black Hills, South Dakota, listening on the great Real Presence Radio. Tim, delighted to have you with us. Your question for Adam and David.
Hey, it was actually more of a statement, but we moved out here a couple of years ago, and we came from a parish on the east side of the state of South Dakota where we had lived there for 23 years. And, you know, the people we sat next to were the people that we hung out with during the week and on the weekends and stuff like that. And it took a good solid 2 years to actually find that sort of relationship over in this way, you know. And it was, you know, you have to almost find the right parish that fosters that community, you know, and sticking around maybe after Mass and talking to each other and seeing how everybody's doing.
Yeah, I definitely think,
that's Tim.
Tim, I definitely think you have to be intentional. We have to be intentional Catholics. We have to be intentional friends. And if that's the case, then that does mean that you have to stick around a little after Mass to maybe introduce yourself to a few more people. That means that maybe I do have to invite this person out for brunch to hang out for a little bit. I mean, if we're wanting to develop friendships, you know, Si, it's one thing to say, I want to go to Ireland. Because I do. I want to go to Ireland. My family's from Ireland. I'd love to go. It's another thing to say, I'm planning to go to Ireland. Mm-hmm. You know, because if I'm planning on it, then I'm saving money. Then I'm picking out a date. Then I'm packing my bags. I'm getting everything ready. But if I just say, I want to go to Ireland with no end in sight, then I'm just wishing. I'm not really actually doing anything. So you have to be, if I want to be intentionally going to Ireland, I need to prepare for it and plan for it. If you want to be an intentional friend, you have to intentionally plan on it and ask people to hang out with you.
Yeah, and Tim, I would say that, you know, your experience is probably common for many, many people when they move somewhere new. And I think that's just one of the things that we need to work on as a church is being welcoming. So I want to kind of flip it and say that, you know, from the other end, now that you do have a good community, we need to all be aware of new people. If you see someone new in your parish, go talk to them. Don't just say like, oh, yeah, I saw someone new.
Isn't that Protestant? Like, can Catholics
yeah,
do that?
Yeah, yeah. We are allowed
to be hospitable. Yes,
really? All right, okay.
I have a friend who's so good at this, and he'll if he sees someone new, he's like a beeline for him. And him doing that has brought a couple families into the church. Just because he went up and talked to them,
wonderful.
They decided to become Catholic. It wasn't even necessarily the doctrine that convinced them.
Right.
Not at first. So we have to do that. So if you see someone new, just go up and say, hey, you don't have to like move in, you know, like you don't have to share an apartment with them. You know, just be friendly because it makes a huge difference.
What do you think, Tim?
I think you're about, can you still hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Okay. I was thinking you're spot on with that. It does take an effort. And Adam, I'd just add that our ancestors probably come from the same area because you and I share the same last name.
What? Hey, no kidding.
Well, you two should plan to go to Ireland, all right? Don't just say you're going to Ireland. Thanks, Tim. Thanks, everybody who called. Our guests have been Adam Minahan and David Niles. Their program is The Catholic Man Show. You can find it at catholicmanshow.com. You can find out about their efforts to continue the traditions of Catholic radio right here in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. We're going to continue. Second hour, you're going to be delighted with our second hour end-of-the-week guests. But I'm going to leave you hanging. We'll get to that right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.